This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Join us today at Abundant Life Ministries. We're currently now meeting at the Martin County Realtors Auditorium. This is located 3204A Southeast Federal Highway. That's in the Wedgewood Commons Shopping Center, and access is in the north end of the plaza that's facing Indian Street. The service time is 9:30 a.m. Join us now as we go into a service previously recorded entitled Finish Your Race Strong, taken from Psalm 91:16 and Isaiah 57:1.
Psalm 91, probably some of you have these verses memorized that I'm going to read. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This morning we're going to be looking at the topic, Finish Your Race Strong. Amen. And don't finish it until it is finished. Finish your race strong. You'll remember back a few weeks ago I was speaking on this topic. Finish your race strong and don't finish until it is finished. Look at this passage. Verse 14. The Lord said, I will rescue those who love me. Anybody in here love the Lord? Amen. I will protect those who trust in my name. Anyone trust in the name of the Lord? When they call on me, who? Those who are trusting and those who are loving God. Those who love God, those who trust God. When they call on me, I guess we could say it this way. When you call on God, He says, I will answer. I will rescue them and honor them. Now, verse 16, I want you to take special note of. I will satisfy them. Satisfy them with a long life. And give them my salvation. How many have heard this or read it before? At some point, you've heard this. Now, I'm not asking all of you to answer my next question, but I'm going to ask you a question because I just want you to think about this for just a second. This verse is not a standalone in all the scriptures. There's many other scriptures that talk about long life. I like this one in particular because we go to Psalm 91. It's a warrior psalm that just lays out layer upon layer upon layer of groundwork for us to strengthen our faith and stand in strength before the Lord. And so when this verse 16 says, I will satisfy them with a long life, what does God mean when He says, I will satisfy them, or I will satisfy you with a long life and give them my salvation? We understand the salvation part, right? but I will satisfy them with a long life. Reward them. Yeah. Okay. We know those who honor their mother and father, that there's a promise. It comes with a promise, right? What is the promise? A long life, right? And so I want you for a moment to think about what that means in regards to a long life. Now, I want to take you over to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. And we're going to look at the first couple verses in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous, just so you know who we're talking about here, say righteous. The righteous pass away. Now, we're not having a funeral here this morning. We're talking about living our life, a long, blessed life, and not finishing until it is finished. But look at this passage. The righteous pass away, the godly often. Say often. Die before their time. But then look at the rest of this verse. And no one seems to care or wonder why. Now, why shouldn't we have a message about this? Why shouldn't we ask a question about this? Why shouldn't we look into the Word of God to find out what God has to say about this? We just looked in 91 and saw that God will bless us with a long life. Then what does this mean that the righteous pass away, the godly often die before their time, and no one seems to care, wonder why? No one seems to understand that God is protecting them. God is protecting them from the evil to come. For, verse 2 is included in this whole topic, this discussion as well. For the godly who die will rest in peace. So what is a long life? That's one question. What does the Word of God refer to when it's talking about a long life? And then secondly, what is the Word of God referring to when it refers to before their time? If God is going to bless us with a long life, amen, and then the Word is going to tell us that there are godly people that are going to, they're going to die. And many will die before their time, and no one seems to care or wonder why. Well, we care and we wonder why. We're going to look at this morning, and we're going to look to see what God has to say. I remember my father, the last probably 15 years, was a very close prayer partner with me. Now, it wasn't always that way. When I was younger, we were like miles apart. I remember my mom telling me, she said, Jonathan, your father never held you as a baby. I couldn't hardly believe that. I mean, how could a daddy not hold his son? I mean, I wasn't the first son. My brother Larry was the first son. So, you know, I wondered about that. How could that possibly be that dad would never hold me as a child? But then as I would grow up, we weren't close, you know. I don't remember growing up my father ever giving me a hug. Now let me tell you what I had a lot of. I had a lot of board meeting. A lot of correction. And I thank God for it. I needed it. But there wasn't a lot of affection in the house. I went with my wife to visit her family. I thought they were crazy. Her aunt. She was a skinny little twig of a lady. I don't know how old she was. She probably weighed 90 pounds. We went to visit her aunt. I'd never seen her aunt. I'd never seen her cousin. I didn't know who her family was. And so her aunt comes out, and she comes running like crazy. Grabs me around the neck, wraps her legs around me, and gives me a hug. I thought I was going to pass out. And then out came the cousin. She came running out, but she asked for permission. May I hug him? May I give him a kiss? And I'm like, Lord have mercy, who are these people? And later I'd say to Rachel, honey, what's wrong with your family? She said, nothing's wrong with my family. This is the way we are. Didn't have that. But I'll tell you what God did. The day would come in our family where I remember after Dad had left and family fell apart, you know, Mom was alone and Dad had an affair and it was painful and Dad had been a minister and it didn't make sense and I struggled with it and didn't believe it, followed him to his house, stayed outside from the time they went to bed, was there when they got up in the morning because I couldn't believe my dad could have an affair. And from those early days, I remember confronting him that first morning and just saying, you know, Dad, whatever happens, you're my father and I want to see you in heaven. Whatever happens, you're my father, I want to see you in heaven. And I remember being angry and upset. And I think I was angry at Satan mostly, but I was angry also at my father's failure, and I didn't understand that, and I would struggle with that. And one day God would say, I want you to start complimenting your father on every good thing he's done. Every time you see him, I want you to do that. I said, Lord, what am I going to compliment him? And the Father said, when you're in prayer, I want you to start taking notes. I'm going to remind you of things that were good that took place in your home. I want you to write them down. And then when you see your father, I want you to tell him that you really appreciate this about him. Now, I didn't realize that, you know, when someone falls hard, the enemy wants to crush them and keep them there. And many times our words actually document the plan of the enemy instead of documenting the love of God. And so I ended up with a full page of things that I was really thankful Dad had done. And over the next several years, I would share that with Dad. And one day, you know, there was a Promise Keepers on the other coast of Florida. 20-some thousand people came together over there. It was a big crowd. But God had put in my house, call your dad and ask him if he'd come with you. And we were still a long ways apart. And I invited Dad. He said, yes, I'd like to do that. And so we went to this Promise Keepers event. And one of the sessions was about the blessing and how important it is for families to be healed and reconciled. And it was during that session that they spoke about the blessing, that there is a paternal blessing, that fathers are given the rights and the authority to release a blessing over their children. And I'm sitting next to my dad. He's on my left side, and I'm just so glad we were there. And it was like we were at least connecting on something. We weren't close at this time, really, but we were starting to connect more. And there was a time where the leader said, right now, if you are here, it's father, and your son's here, now would be a good time to release that blessing. And my father did that and broke and wept and cried that day. And And it was like we didn't know how to give each other a hug. It was like hugging a tree. Actually, I really felt like it was like hugging a concrete pole, because there was no warmth, there was no feeling in it. It just wasn't there. But I'm saying all that to say that God wants to heal our families in this revival. And so if there's hurts and scuffs and scars and you've been abused and there's pain that's there, don't think that has to be the end of the story. And so what ended up happening, Dad ended up being one of my closest prayer partners for close to 15 years. And after I would see Dad, I would always, "Dad, I want to give you a hug." And that, which for the longest time was like hugging a tree or a pole, ended up, Dad responded. You know how it is, if you give somebody a hug and they're like, "Meh," you know. And so Dad became my prayer partner. I remember my father talking about the length of his life. And some of you have heard me tell this story. He was told by the doctors, you know, that he was going to die. And then he lived 15 years after that. And then he was told he was going to die again. And, you know, all of his doctors are all telling him this. And I called him one evening. He said, "Son," I was just at the thrift store. He said, you know, we went over to visit the thrift store. And he said, when we were looking at shoes, there were two pairs of shoes, brand new. They looked brand new, my perfect size. And he said, "I bought both pairs." He said, "I wasn't sure exactly what all that would mean until we were looking at suits. And when we came to the suits, I found two suits, both that I loved. They looked to be brand new. And there were two suits my size. They fit perfect." And he said, "Then when I saw the suit, now I have in my cart, I have two suits and I have, you know, they were really cheap. I have two suits and I have two pairs of shoes." He said, "I realized something. If there'd only been one pair of shoes and one suit, maybe God was confirming it's time to go home and you'll be buried in this." But he said, "When I saw there were two pairs of shoes and two suits, I realized God's not finished with me yet." So he said, "Instead of preparing my wardrobe for my casket, I'm preparing for the next plan God has in my life." And he would end up renting a place at the flea market just so he could give away tracts and give away Bibles and minister to people. And then he would start a service in their little mobile home park and have Sunday morning services. And he would do that. And at the end of every year, he would always, I'm talking about, don't finish the race until you finish the race. Dad would say to me at the end of the year, he'd say, "Son, I want you to pray with me." He said, "I've already been praying this way. You know how I pray. Every year I pray, God, I don't want to stay here and be a burden to anybody. But if there's something still for me to do, I want you to give me enough health along with the vision to be useful for you." He always prayed that way. The end of every year, he's looking at a new year. "I want to be useful. If I'm not going to be useful, then take me home suddenly. I don't want to be a burden. But if my work is not finished, along with the vision, give me the strength to complete it." Of course, Dad always told me McLean's lived to be in their 40s. Most died in around 45. That was because of reckless living, bad eating habits, and a lot of other things that were part of our family. I don't know what's part of your family, but Dad would always say that. And Dad lived within a couple weeks of being 83 years old. So when I saw my father fall with sin, and the question was, you know, when Dad sinned like that, does that mean that God's going to cut him off early? Make sure you don't decide how God should deal with somebody else's sin. You know, so when Dad was in the hospital the first time, said he was going to die, and I prayed, God spoke to me clearly and said, you are not to go to see your father at this time. Even though the rest of the children, the family, were kind of stretched a little in the relationship, they were calling me saying, we have to go. You know, there's nothing else can be done. The doctor's saying this is it. And God said, you can't go. I said, Father, why? Why can I not go? He said, because he's not going to die. And I want you to call your father and tell him you're not coming now, because God is going to raise him up. He's not going to die in the hospital, though they said there's no hope. He is going to live. I want you to tell him he's going to live. And I want you to tell him that you will see him after God has raised him up. And so the rest of the family went to see Dad, but I made the phone call. And when I made that phone call to Dad, and I told him that, and I said, Dad, this is what God has said to me, that you will live and you will not die. He immediately gave me the address for the psalm and said, God spoke that. He could barely whisper. He said, son, God gave me that scripture, and I've been quoting that scripture, and you're the first one that has spoken to me those words, and now I know that God's going to raise me up. I don't know all the medical stuff. I just know that they found that they were giving him medications that were killing him. They were working against each other. They stopped it, and within days, his health was restored and he was released. And then Dad just kept living, you know, from his in his 60s and in his 70s. And one day my brother, he was talking with me, and he said, do you realize that many of the people, many of the ministers that are Dad's age that we grew up knowing, they're already gone? And yet Dad's still living. How could Dad still be living after Dad had an affair and I have two sisters from that relationship? And, you know, I was home with Mom. I know how many tears were there. Some of you have been hurt deeply. Some that will watch has been hurt deeply. And it was a painful transition. And I'll tell you, it never fully disappeared. You don't just forget stuff like that. But God is bigger than that. And so what I want to say is, don't let your past determine your future. And don't let your failures and your sins determine the length of your life. And don't let the devil's lies or sickness or disease have authority over the Word of God in your life. Amen. And so brother ended up saying to me, he said, there's one thing that God brings to mind. Dad loved the poor, and he ministered to the poor, and he always would help the poor. And he couldn't pass. He had a hard time passing anyone on the street. And he would hug them, and he would bring them home, and he would take them out to eat. And we had the strangest lunches at our house. I mean, it was bizarre at our house. I mean, one time I remember this man is there, and he said to my mom, Sister Grace, are we having dessert today? And you know, McLean meal was, it was tomato soup and cheese sandwiches. That was a big deal for us. And so the big deal was on the table, and he said, Sister Grace, is there any dessert? And she said, oh yes, there's chocolate cake today. He said, could I have mine now? And I thought, hey, smart guy, he's going to eat dessert early, right? Wrong. Well, sort of right. She served the piece of cake. He put it in his tomato soup. And I remember sitting there. I'm just a little kid. And I'm like, this guy is nuts. Who would ruin a piece of good cake by putting it in the tomato soup? Or who would ruin a good bowl of tomato soup by putting the cake in it? And this was our house, you know. But my brother said, you know, Dad cared about the poor. And the Word of God actually says that God watches those who take care of the poor, and that God is a rewarder of those. So in our family, you know, we can't compare pedigree. You probably have a you know, a lily clean slate, and you probably have a family that doesn't have all the scuffs and scars. I certainly don't want to talk about the rest of our family's issues that I found out about. I mean, too embarrassing to even think about. But this was our family, and yet God took him past the 60s and past the 70s and into the 80s, and Dad would pass very quickly to be with the Lord, no long drawn out thing. And this morning, as I look back, and I had to go back and look at these notes, and I heard people talking about, well, God took them and God took this one. And I've known some people that God has taken. I mean, wherein I just knew it was a sovereign thing of God. We looked at Enoch, right? Where God took him, he was not because he walked with God. And so God took him. And then we went through a whole list of different individuals where we could look at their life and look at their purpose. We looked at Moses. Remember a few weeks ago where God said to Moses, Moses, you're not going into the land. Moses, you're going to go up on the mountain. And Moses, you're going to get to see the land from the mountain, but it's time for you to die. And when you go up on the mountain, Moses, you're going to die up there. But before you go, I want you to share this message. Remember, he preaches that message, a challenging message. And before he went, he was to commission Joshua to take over. So the next leader was going to be raised up. Why am I saying this? Because God wanted everything to be decent and in order before Moses was taken. I know I said this a few weeks ago. I'm going to say it again this morning. I believe God has a better plan than for you and me as children of God to be jerked off the planet with all kinds of things undone and unfinished, with a mess for our families and a mess for our wives or our husbands, a mess for our children, a mess for the church. Churches have totally fallen apart because the leadership had no plan for anyone to step in and to continue the ministry. And families have totally come apart because it seemed as though God was not there in how the father was taken or the mother was taken. And I don't think we talk about this much. I believe we should. I believe we should talk to our children. I believe we should explain to them how it works. The God who created everything is not up there going, oh, let's throw some dice and decide who's going to live and who's going to die today. That is ridiculous. Do you know it's the world that says, whatever will be, will be. We as Christians do not say that. We do not say that whatever's going to happen is going to happen and what I do has nothing to do with that. That's not the way we live our lives. That's not the way a Christian believes.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.